Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good that we can enter into God's presence on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving, for our God indeed is a good God and greatly to be praised. We welcome all who may be visiting with us here at St. John's this morning, and a special welcome to all those who join us on the live stream. It is always a pleasure to welcome friends old and new to St. John's. For the people who are on the live stream, if you would just hit the little thumbs up or a little heart or something, just so that we have a record of your presence with us this morning, it's always nice to see who's joining us. The announcements for this morning were contained on the screens and are in the bulletin, so hopefully you've had an opportunity to make note of all of the ones that are of most importance to you. Perhaps there's none more important than that the women of the church are looking for rhubarb. So if you have rhubarb and you have no place to put it, speak to the ladies of the church. They will gladly take it off your hands. A little early. Our rhubarb's just starting, but I'm sure in the next couple of weeks we'll all be overrun by it. Also, Graduate Sunday is coming up for our university students and colleges next week, and then for our high school students later in June. If you know of any graduates, please let us know at the church office that we can recognize them on those two Sundays, and particularly for the college and university grads, since it's next Sunday, let us know by tomorrow. because we do need a couple of days to kind of, especially since I don't think we've had any responses from anyone yet, to kind of track them down, ask them for a picture, and get things ready for next Sunday. And note the two inserts that were in the bulletin, one regarding the Presbytery Refugee Committee and new Canadians who will be arriving in Cornwall in the near future. So we're beginning to plan for the reception of the Maasai family with us, and all the information about what we're working on is there for you. And then the other has to do with the Canada Food Grains Bank, which is our mission focus for May and June of this year. And there are a number of things there, so I'm going to commend it simply to your reading. There are coin boxes that you can pick up to kind of do a little coin box collection for that, and those are on the table in the McClellan Room, and you can pick those up during coffee at the close of worship. Colleen has an announcement this morning regarding spring cleanups.
Mission and Outreach Committee members have adopted the public spaces around St. John's Church. Our goal is to reduce litter in the area, and we will be meeting once a month. This is a city program that we're buying into, and the city provides supplies, and they give us contacts, so if we encounter anything hazardous, we don't have to pick it up. We just call them, and they will collect it. Our first gathering will be this Saturday, May 9th at 10 a.m., and I invite you to join with us. Please dress for the weather. You will need to sign a waiver form. And if you're under the age of 18, you will need a parent or guardian to sign it. I have waiver forms here if you want one. And if you have any other questions, you can talk to me at the coffee hour after church. Thank you.
And as we move into worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk in his paths and follow his truths. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call, as is our custom, and will appear before you on the screens. I would invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Christ is a living stone, precious in God's sight, and on him we build our lives.
We are God's people,
and we proclaim God's mighty acts, for we have been called out of darkness and into the light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. With hearts lifted in praise, we come to worship. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Christ you have shown us the way, revealed to us your truth, and offered us everlasting life. Keep our eyes upon him, that we may see your path more clearly, know your truth more fully, and receive your life more abundantly. We pray all these things through Christ, who dwells with you in the Holy Spirit in eternal glory. Amen. And this morning's opening hymn is number 425 in the Book of Praise. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. Hymn 425. Jesus has taught us mercy by praying for the forgiveness of those who killed him. This miraculous gift assures us that no matter what we have done, no matter the words that we have left unsaid, we can come to Christ with our honest confession. Let us turn now our hearts to God as we say the prayer of confession as it appears before us on the screens. Christ, our way, our truth, our life, you have shown us what it means to be citizens of the kingdom of God. We have not simply told us how to live. You have shown us, and yet we fail to understand. We do not believe all you have said to us. We do not trust the way you have shown us. Help us, O God. Forgive us. Open our ears to your truth. Open our eyes to your way. And lead us into new life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Jesus prepares a place for us. Jesus brings us close to him. Jesus answers us even in our unbelief. We are God's own people. Let us therefore give thanks to the Lord. Amen. And as God has been forgiving to us, we are also invited to be forgiving of one another. Let us pause now for a moment to share a sign of the peace of Christ with those around us, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn is number 625, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
All these things shall be
It was 625. That's a big number, isn't it? Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. Now, if you are meeting somebody for the first time, what would you say about yourself? What do you think? What would you say? If you were asked to describe yourself, what would you say? Say it. Will, what is it? Would you say, I am funny? Maybe you'd say, I'm smart. I am tall. I am fast. Who's fast? You fast? I am fast, right? Notice how we said all of those things, right? Starts with what? I am. Now, I thought I was doing really good this morning. I thought I had the children's story lined up with the Sunday school lesson, and I failed again. Because this morning, they're not doing the gospel lesson downstairs. You're going to do one of my favorite readings from the Bible downstairs this morning, 1 Peter. So that's what they're going to hear downstairs. We're going to hear it up here in a minute, too. But the minister's not going to talk about it this morning. But this morning, one of the things that happens in the reading that we're going to listen to upstairs, the gospel lesson, is Jesus is going to say, I am. You know what? Jesus actually says, I am, 7 times. 7 times in the Gospel of John. 7 times he said, tries to tell his disciples and tries to tell us a little bit about himself. What do you think Jesus said? If you were going to describe Jesus in those words, I am, what might he say?
I am the king.
I am the king. Well, that would be a really good guess. That's a really good guess. It's not really what he says, but that's an excellent guess. If I was going to give marks for guesses, that would be like 100% guess. Really would. If anybody else you said it, you would have got 100% too for a guess. Jesus says what? Anybody want to help? I am the bread of life. I am the vine. Thank you. John 15. I heard light, truth, the way. In fact, kind of those all go together, don't they? Which is in the gospel for this morning. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also says, I am the door or the gate. You heard that last Sunday in our gospel reading. What are we missing? I am the good shepherd. That was last Sunday too. I am the resurrection of the life, and as we heard, I am the true vine. Those are all of those 7 sayings of Jesus, that Jesus tries to help us to understand exactly who Jesus is and why we should seek to follow him. So we'll listen to those things. This morning, downstairs, just to tie it all up, this morning you get to hear the church defines itself. So there's an I am statement, except it's actually a we are statement. And we said it earlier this morning. We are the church. We are God's people. Right? 1 Peter chapter 2. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. So that's the I am statement that we're going to hear, that you guys are going to hear downstairs this morning. So there, I got it all into one. Thank you so much for your attention, and we'll see you after church this morning. I can't wait to hear what you learned about being God's people. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Reading from Acts 7, verses 55 to 60. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died.
Our second reading this morning is taken from Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5 and 15 to 16. This will be read responsively. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me.
Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that is hidden from me, for you are my refuge.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
And next, from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If needed, you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. This honor, then, is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Once more, let us sing the hymn. Hymn number 482, Christ is Made a Sure Foundation. Hymn 482, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
Thank you.
And our gospel lesson for this morning is taken from the gospel according to John. Reading John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to be and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. It's one of those mornings. I promise it's a mint and not a button, so the sermon won't go on for an hour and a half, if you know that old joke about the minister who thought he was putting a mint in his mouth, and he preached as long as the mint was still in his mouth, and then he would stop, and one day he put a button in instead, and so the sermon went on and on and on. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 contains some of the most popular and enduring images of all of the Gospels. It has those famous opening words, let not your hearts be troubled. It paints the picture of heaven as a mansion just over the hilltop, as the old country and western hymn went. It contains the promise that Christ will come again and the personal application of that promise in that Christ comes for you. And it contains one of the most of those famous I am sayings of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's a lot of stuff here in John chapter 14, and that's just the first six verses. Reflecting on our gospel reading for this morning, Dr. Anna Carter Florence, who's the professor of preaching at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, has stated, I would wager that this chapter has inspired more bumper stickers and more cross-stitch samplers than any other in the Bible. It has also incited a few wars. Those last words from Dr. Carter Florence arise out of the end of verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the temptation that we find there to shift the application of the gospel from one of radical inclusion to one of exclusion instead. Now, with all of this going on here in just these six verses, but we read much more than that, It seems appropriate that this should be our text for this morning, a departure from our year of dwelling in the Psalms, because these few verses hold so much for us to explore, and because so often we see this particular text through one particular lens, the lens of grief and of loss. So often we hear this passage of Scripture read only at funerals. And in that context, our eyes are immediately drawn to the first six verses and their promise of hope. And perhaps rightly so. After all, this reading that we read this morning is part of a much larger unit in John's Gospel, known as the Farewell Discourses. This unit of teaching from John's Gospel begins with Jesus' celebration of the Passover with his disciples and ends with his arrest. And while you may think that that is a short period of time, it is four chapters in John's Gospel. Four chapters in which Jesus is preparing his disciples for all that is to come. His arrest and his death upon the cross, their betrayal along the way, and the future of the church. So these texts do wrestle with the shock and the grief of death and loss, but they also point the disciples towards Jesus' hope and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, it is only as Jesus continues to teach his followers of his true nature that the hope of new life in Christ is even possible. Our traditional application of all of this is predicated on things that are more deep. So this morning, for a few moments, I want to dig a little bit deeper into this text and the central theme of this unit of all of the Gospels, which is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. With all that precedes it in verses 1 to 6 of this reading, you could be excused if you got to verse 7 and it just kind of slipped by. If all of a sudden it kind of went by like utility poles flashing by as you're driving down the highway. But perhaps, just perhaps, the heart of this text is contained in these words of Jesus. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. In typical Johannine style, Jesus here drops for us just this little clue about the true nature of his personhood. In the face of all of the confusion that the disciples are wrestling with, in which their popular teacher has become identified as some dissident leader, Jesus pushes them to look past all of the good things that he has done, all of the miracles and all of the miraculous feedings, back to the source that enabled all of that to happen in the first place. As 21st century Christians, Jesus pushes us all the way back variably to the opening hymn of John in chapter 1, or back to where the story all begins. All back from this, the fifth Sunday of Easter, all the way back to Christmas Eve. And to remember that Jesus' life is more than happy stories and parlor tricks. That this Jesus who promises hope today is the same one of whom the prophets spoke, the God made flesh, conceived by the Virgin Mary. Here in these verses, Jesus claims the mantle of the Son of God for himself. And he reminds his disciples that when they have looked upon Jesus, when they have been amazed at his teachings, and when they have marveled at his miracles, they have been witnessing God breaking into their human lives. And as we have heard, this is no small hurdle for Jesus' disciples. understandable, isn't it? I think if we were honest, it would be no small hurdle for us were we standing there at the same time. Philip is still searching, still looking, still longing for just a glimpse of the Father. Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Didn't quite get it, did he? When the reality has been that God the Father has been right there before him this entire time. Every now and then, just a glimpse. How is it that the disciples might discern God's will and God's love for creation? Because the one who created is also the one who reorders and recreates. Because they have seen God's actions in every finger twitch of the Son. And the arduous journey that lay ahead of them, the betrayal and the death, was an essential part of God's plan to redeem all of creation. This is why that statement of Jesus from verse 6 is so important. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Indeed, it is why all of these pronouncements about Jesus' nature and purpose are greater than the sum of their parts. At one level, the I am statements of Jesus help us to identify Jesus' mission here on earth. All those ones that we mentioned with the children earlier. But there's more than just that. Each time Jesus says one of these statements and begins that sentence, I am, he is drawing forward from the Old Testament into his own life the name of the divine. Remember back to the book of Exodus when Jesus encountered God in the burning bush. Pardon me, when Moses encountered God in the burning bush. And God sent him back to his own people to free them from slavery. And Moses asks of God, who can I tell them has sent me? And God responds, I am. Tell them, I am has sent you. So too here in John's gospel, Jesus claims his identity as the Son of God as he utters those words, I am, the name of the divine. The divine will is revealed, therefore, to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and the divine will continues still in the work of the church as we reach out into the world with love and invite people into a relationship with the Father. For as Jesus says, this is just the beginning. Greater things than this will happen because Jesus is going to the Father, which then will free the Holy Spirit to come and to guide the church into acts of love and service. And I was thinking as I was writing those words this week, so next week we'll come back and we'll preach about the Holy Spirit, but that gets me ahead of the calendar by about 2 weeks because Pentecost is a little ways down the road yet. So we're going to have to push a pause for a couple of weeks there. But don't forget where we have come this morning. That it is indeed through the power of the Holy Spirit that the church reaches out into the world to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to invite people into a relationship when we ease the suffering and bring hope of the gospel to bear on the lives of people who are struggling with injustice. Each action that we read in Scripture performed by Jesus and by those who come after him, each action that we perform as the church as we seek to bear the good news out into the world in love and service is just a glimpse of God with us. God with us, God in us, God through us to the world. that others may know the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his guiding the church throughout history and today. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is drawn from the Presbyterian Church in Canada's Living Faith document. We read this morning from chapter 3 and subsection 6, Salvation in Christ. And this is a responsive reading, so where it is indicated, please feel free to respond. Salvation comes from God's grace alone, received through faith in Christ. From all eternity, and through no merit on our part, God calls us to life in Christ. Before the world was made, Christ, to be part of the family of God. We are called for a purpose. We have been predestined to be like Christ and to serve God. As with Israel in the Old Testament, so with the new humanity in the New Testament, God chooses us. There is assurance in knowing that the living God has eternal purposes to achieve through us. God will bring to completion the work of grace begun in us. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and yet refuses to help a sister or a brother who is in need? Remembering God's love for the world, let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present our tithes and our offerings. Great God, to you we give our thanks. Your steadfast love endures forever. With gratitude we bring our gifts to you. Bless us and our gifts, that our lives and our resources may be a source of healing and hope, of joy and justice in the world that you have created. We pray all of these things in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. Thank you. Once more, let us join our hearts in prayer. O Holy One, God with us, we give you thanks for the promises that Jesus gave to his followers, that in him we do indeed see your face. He has shown us the face of your mercy and compassion. So we thank you for understanding us better than we know ourselves. He has shown us the face of your peace and justice. And so we thank you for calling us to make a difference in the world in his name's sake. Holy One, in Christ you show us the way that leads through paths of service. We pray for those who feel lost or alone, those who live with anxiety or doubt their own value, and all who cannot imagine a purpose for themselves. God of the way, lead those who are struggling to find the hope you offer through the assurance of your love. Holy One, in Christ you show us the truth that is revealed through costly love. In these days when lies are easily disguised, we pray for those who have put their faith in false hope and flimsy promises, those deceived by empty promises from the power-hungry, and any misled by conspiracy theories that circulate each day. God of truth, reveal the shallowness of things that distract or mislead us, and give us courage to stand for truth, even when it is unpopular. Holy One, in Christ you showed us the life that overcomes death through your resurrecting power. We pray for those facing illness or grief, any who live with deep sadness, depression, or despair, and those whose lives are diminished by discrimination in action or attitude. Especially this day, we pray for the family of Winona Johnson as they mourn her loss. God of life, support all those who are suffering and make your justice known in our land. Holy One, challenge us to find renewed purpose in following in the footsteps of Christ, so that in our living and loving, your kingdom of justice and love may be revealed. For we pray the words that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 699 in the Book of Praise, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, hymn 699. go forth to serve in the name of our risen Lord. And may Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life be with you. May the Spirit empower you to serve in Christ's name. May God, who raised Christ from the dead, keep you forever. Amen.